Exodus chapter 33, verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle that a cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his own friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So for tonight, we want to do something deliberate in our study adventure to fully capture the import of the tabernacle of Moses. And for your information, this is not the only tabernacle that was built, because we still have the tabernacle of David. But we want to start from the tabernacle of Moses. What was the essence? What is a tabernacle? A tabernacle. A tabernacle is like a shrine. A physical location that you can come and encounter a spiritual thing. I want to take some time to teach before I minister a little, but my intention tonight is more of teaching. Once upon a time, I went to minister in the city of Zaria, and I saw this guy. He insisted that he wanted a counseling slot. So I gave him the opportunity to come say what was on his mind, and he spoke about the fact that he had encountered a spirit. He was on the way to the stream in his village, and a spirit leaped out of the water, suspended in the air, and spoke with him. He said he's been sought after. And the reason for which the spirit world have been seeking him is because they want to give him the ability of great wisdom. The spirit inquired if he wanted great wisdom, and he said, why not? I want wisdom. And when he acknowledged that he wanted wisdom, what the spirit did was that he gave him alligator pepper, three of it. He was in the flesh. He was on a low energy level, that if he takes the alligator pepper, he will go high. And then the spirit can communicate to him at that level. So he took the alligator pepper and he went high. The spirit began to give him insight. The first thing the spirit told him was the technology of setting coordinates in a certain place. If you set those coordinates according to prescription, there's a way to construct an idol. There's a way to do this and do that. If you put the things and angulate them according to prescription, if he invokes that spirit, the spirit will be able to come into that location where all of these preparations have been made. The prescription that the spirit gave this young man is not different from the arrangement that we have in the book of Numbers chapter 24. Are you with me? All right, so let's do Bible study for a moment. Numbers chapter 24. If you want to know the mind of God, when you study the Bible, study it in context. And then the scripture will begin to speak to you as if there's a human being that is communicating with you. In Numbers chapter 24, the Bible says, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments, but set his face towards the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took a parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor had said, the man whose eyes are open had said, he had said, which heard the words of God and saw the visions of the Almighty, falling into a trance, and having his eyes open. That's his credential. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Now, many of us may not understand the context, so I need to give you perspective. This is Balaam that was hired. Balaam is soothsayer. And this Balaam the soothsayer happens to be a descendant of Abraham through his wife Keturah, one of those children that had to be sent away so that they would not be partakers with Isaac of the inheritance. So this, the Bible reveals that Abraham gave them gifts and sent them away. And we have no evidence that the gifts that Abraham gave them were just physical gifts. Because we see a dimension of oppression here, which actually reveals that part of what Abraham gave them were spiritual gifts. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And I will show you, even though this Balaam was trained in the ways of sorcery, because when he was hired to come curse Israel, the altars that he raised were altars according to the spirits of divination, such that when those altars are put in place and the spirits of divination are agitated, then he can be inspired through those spirits to curse Israel. Because his reputation was that anyone he curses is cursed, and anyone he blesses is blessed. So he, for 7 times, he attempted to curse Israel using divination, and it did not work. So he now decided that he will not use divination again. All right? Then he turned his face to the wilderness. And the thing that the Holy Spirit wanted him to see, he now saw. 2 things.
Are you there?
Verse 2 and verse 5 are the things that he saw. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. The moment he saw what God wanted him to see. I hope you know that God can use anything. Just like God used a cock crowed, and it was so anointed that it made a man cry and repent. A cock crow. But that crow was a super crow, because it made a man repent that day. You understand that? And so this guy was a sorcerer. Don't miss it. He's what? But the Spirit of the Lord now came upon him, because he had seen what God wanted him to see. The secret behind the reason why it was impossible for him to curse them, God wanted to teach him. And so when he looked, lifted up his eyes, the first thing he saw was that Israel was encamped in a very strange way. Now, these guys were moving from the land of Egypt, and they were transversing into the land of promise. If we are going to settle temporarily in a location, do you expect that settlement will sustain an order? Because my own tent will be close to Ogbe's tent, will be Jit's tent. But for Israel, it is not so. The place your tent can be is consistent with a certain pattern. And this wisdom was downloaded by Moses. So one of the things that Balaam noticed was that Israel was abiding in his tents according to their tribes. Now, the thing you need to see is this. This pulpit now is the fulcrum. It's the center of the maze. All right? And then we have Reuben is the first tribe. So the first son of Reuben, his tent will be here. Second son of Reuben, his tent will be here. Third son of Reuben, tent. So there was a pattern as to how they settled. And those of you that know calisthenics, when they are doing World Cup and they say World USA 2024, then they will do USA. If you are looking at it from above, 2024, right? So these guys actually formed a pattern. But the thing I want you to know about the way these people settled was that the settlement, the design for the settlement was one of the many insights that Moses received from God. Are you with me? Now, it was because they were in that order, they were in alignment with a spiritual reality whose structure was in the spirit realm. You are not with me. They were in alignment with a reality whose structure was in the spirit realm. That's why it was impossible to curse them. It was alignment that was the reason why the diviner could not strike them with his tools. They were physically arranged according to a spiritual reality. If you see the way the temple was designed, for instance, the temple was designed not according to an architectural design that was from the earth, but an architectural design that was from heaven. And Moses went up to the mountain and saw that design. And when he came down, he got the people that had received the anointing to be able to construct this tabernacle. Moses went to the mountain, he picked the design, came down, and got skillful people to construct it according to the pattern that he saw on the mountain. The reality of what Moses saw was in heaven, but a replica was built in the earth. The implication of that is this. If it is built according to the pattern of that which is in heaven, it will be able to trap what that thing contains in heaven. It will be able to trap it here upon the face of the earth. You see, that's why that spirit was educating that young man. Do like this, do like this, do like this. Then if you invoke me, I can come into what you have created, because it is a mirror image of my dimension. So if it's a mirror image of my dimension, it can contain me, it can trap me. My essence can be contacted within that arrangement. So the reason why the soothsayer could not curse these guys, they had a pattern of settlement that was consistent. It was a reflection of a reality in the realm of the spirit. And that reality that is in the realm of the spirit was the covering that they enjoyed as long as they stayed in that pattern. So the proof that you built according to pattern is that what fills it in heaven can fill it on earth. So if that which fills it in heaven cannot fill it on earth, it means there's a distortion in the pattern. Are you here? So this pattern was built, this tabernacle was built according to the pattern that Moses saw on the mount. And the proof that it was built according to the specifications of what he saw was that he had the ability to contain what that reality contained in heaven. It means that if we built something according to the dimensions of heaven, just like God gave a prescription to Noah as to how to build the ark, all the dimensions were given to Noah. And if Noah builds it according to pattern, then God's insurance policy will be able to safeguard every item that is within that ark, and it will take it to safety. You get that? So that young man built that shrine according to the pattern that was revealed to him by the spirit that came out of the water. And it was possible for the young man to be able to make contact with the dimension of that spirit as long as it was within the confines of what he built, which is a tabernacle for that spirit being. Okay? He could contact. So he used that spirit to give people counsel, give people wisdom, give people strategy, and they were paying him money. And the spirit said he was God. That is God in heaven that sent him. Until the young man came for our crusade, and I began to preach about God. He said, he knows this God now. And then the God I preached now subdued what he was carrying. So he was confused and he needed counsel. So I now use this scripture to reveal to him what that spirit told him. And this is the way by which a spirit can be trapped into the natural world, and you can contact that spirit. So this tabernacle that we're talking about is an arrangement that God gave Moses so that his dimensions can be trapped. Exactly. And so that physical location of where the tabernacle was an interface. That was no longer the natural realm, but an interface between realms. And you can meet another realm within that arrangement. And the Bible says that it was called the tabernacle of congregation. It means that it was a privilege that God was offering every member of the congregation an opportunity to be able to come and contact God. But even though it was the tabernacle of congregation, It became the tabernacle of Moses, because only Moses took advantage of the provisions that were therein. It was only Moses. The rest were celebrating the cloud. And they'll come out when Moses is going, they'll come out and say, "Here don't they go?" Everybody will now stand at his door. And Moses will walk. And when Moses enters, the cloud we block the door, the entrance. And then the moment that happens, they say, "Hey, the Lord is God." And they will begin to worship at their own tent. Meanwhile, that arrangement was an arrangement for the entire congregation. But only Moses took advantage of it. Now, I want to draw your attention quickly. Let us try to see the kind of relationship that Moses had with God in the privacy of that tabernacle. There was a kind of relationship that Moses had with God. And the scriptures were so detailed to give us perspective as to the quality of relationship that Moses had with God. If you are not aware, Moses is the epitome of the mark of a prophet as far as the Jew is concerned. He's the epitome of a prophet. And part of the greatest theological controversies among the Jews is who was the prophet that Moses spoke about, that what God was going to raise, a prophet like unto him. Because there was this hallmark of identifying the anointing of Moses. They are not the full expression of the anointing of Moses, found expression when he came from the mount after 40 days of intercourse with God and his face began to glow. Now, so if Moses is saying that there's going to be a prophet that will rise like unto him, that man must have the ability to glow. If he cannot glow, then it's not the anointing of Moses. And unfortunately for the Jews, when Jesus wanted to glow, he only took three guys to the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't have time to work that out. I don't have time. No time. So Jesus glowed only before three people. Unfortunately, he did not do it publicly. But that would have been the sign that he was that prophet, like unto Moses. You would think that, oh, why didn't God give them the opportunity? The Lord knows the end from the beginning. And he knows the people he's dealing with. The reason why I started with the Jews is not because God is a racist. It's because the Jews are the most stubborn people on earth. Yes. If he made it with the Jews, there's no tribe that he will not go further. Because eventually, you still remember Stephen? When Stephen stood before the Sanhedrin and brought a defense for the gospel, defense for the resurrection, that Jesus, the rise of Jesus was the fulfillment of what was given to their ancestors. And they were ready to stone him to death. His face glowed. If they were really looking for Moses, they would have said that Stephen was Moses. And instead of stoning him, they would have recovered him quickly. And said, the prophecy is coming to pass. So their hearts were hardened. Even though the sign of the glow came, they did not recognize that, this was how Moses' face glowed. It was because the whole house of Israel had gone so far from God. And God was no longer the God of that camp. Are you with me? Now, so this wisdom of how to trap the dimensions of God in a location was one of the many things that God gave to Moses. And the arrangement was supposed to be an arrangement for the entire nation. They were supposed to have a roster that the family of the aging beast will be the ones to go there today. And then the family of the Abike will now go the next day. And so that everybody can have an encounter. But unfortunately, Israel allowed only Moses enjoy what was in the presence of God at that level. Now, let us see the quality of the quality of the relationship that Moses eventually built going into that place day by day. Verse 9. And it came to pass when Moses entered into the tabernacle that the cloudy pillar descended at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. The moment the pillar of cloud came down the door, then it was interaction. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, and every man in his tent door. Next verse there. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Now, this looks like an arrangement, a place where God was willing to come out of his mystery. He was willing to come out of his light. He was willing to strip himself in such a way that Moses would be comfortable with his appearance in the tabernacle. And God will not do this outside. He will do it in a secret place. So the Bible says that the Lord spake unto Moses. How? Then just in case you'll be confused as to what face-to-face means, it qualifies face-to-face for us. How is face-to-face? As a man speaketh unto his friend. Second thing we get from that is, it was an informal relationship. Moses could laugh under those atmosphere. God can even come and say, this is your time. The way you knock this time, it's not good. As a man, we do what? We speak unto his friend. So the arrangement of the tabernacle of Moses was an arrangement to entrench intimacy with God with every citizen of Israel. It's one of the benefits that the sons and daughters of Israel are supposed to operate with. Personal intimacy. But just like it was in the day of Moses, when it was only Moses that enjoyed the facility of the possibility of intimacy, the body of Christ at some point became so comfortable with a situation where we receive from God second hand. Meanwhile, true apostolic and prophetic teaching is supposed to bring you to a point, equip you to be able to go on your own personal adventure with God. The system, the apostolic system that we read about in the book of Acts, is not a system where people depend on a preacher. But a preacher, through the multiple grace of God upon his life, brings people to his own level spiritually so that they can begin to enjoy the things he enjoys in the grace of God. You see, the arrangement of New Testament Christianity is such an arrangement that is sponsored by God himself. And that's why the place of a man boasting is excluded. So it's not about strong men anymore. It's about a strong God. So the reason for which I teach is to show you how to access this God that the covenant, the New Testament, has afforded us the opportunity to access. Okay, give me 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. You will see that, you will see the tabernacle of Moses there. Before we begin to go deeper. Second Corinthians 3 verse 17 says, now the Lord is that spirit. Now the Lord is that spirit. Can you substitute Jesus for the Lord? He's talking about the Lord Jesus. Saying, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus is that spirit. Do you get it? Wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I told you that the word liberty there means access. So the New Testament is a testament of access. Every one of us has access to the glory of God, access to God. But the point is, as it was in the time of Moses, that's how it is now. Only few people take advantage of this system of access that God has made available. And listen to me, first thing you need to know about this access is not physical access. It is a spirit-based kind of access. It means that the facility through which we can engage God and access God and understand God and relate with God and function with God, that facility is a spirit. Because God had decided that he would dwell in the spirit so we can access him there. So it's a little different from physical access. You've been ushered into my office. It's a very easy thing to do. You can come into the office illegally or legally. Right? But spiritual access, you can't come illegally. You must be admitted into the realm. And all of this is spirit. Whereas in the day of Moses, he came to a location where spirit dimensions were trapped. And he began to interface with, oh my, access. I just missed something now. I missed something because my sound was not on. It's a very rigorous process, and I want to show you how this process is, right? What God does to your senses, does to your faculties. Let us take a scripture from the book of Jeremiah so that I will show you something quickly. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. The reason why we had to go to the book of Jeremiah, many times before God does something, what he does is that he speaks about what he wants to do through his prophet. So if you want to know what God wants to do, go and consult with the prophet that spoke about it. God never does anything except to get someone to speak about it. So in order for us to understand the possibilities of access that are bound toward us, we may need to consult with Jeremiah, because Jeremiah had an utterance that spoke about this regime in which we dwell. Are you here? Alright, so he said, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts. Those are the two things he said. According to this scripture, your heart is different from your inward parts. And he's going to put his law in your inward parts. He's going to write his law on your heart. It means that the space where God is trapped in this case. Are you with me? In the day of Moses, God was trapped in the tabernacle. But if this prophecy of Jeremiah means anything, then it suggests that in this arrangement, God is trapped within your inward part. So Moses had to go into the tabernacle to interface with God. And the kind of experience he had interfacing with God was that he was given the opportunity to speak to God face to face. He was given the opportunity to commune with God as a man will commune with his friend. And what I'm trying to bring to your notice is that in your inner man, if you are regenerated, it is possible for you to engage God face to face. But you need to know how to enter. It is through the Spirit that we have access to God. And the Spirit happens to be tabernacled in your inward parts. The Spirit happens to be operating upon your heart. So you need to understand the dynamics that goes on your heart if you can trace God. Hallelujah. Today, when we finish the theoretical section, we'll move to the practical section. And then we'll now know how many of you have exercised your spirit long enough. A child might be born very intelligent. But if that child is not exposed to rigorous mental drills, the child would not be able to use his or her mind in full capacity to solve problems in his life and to pursue and to prosecute his or her destiny. The mental aspect of that child will not be developed sufficiently to become something that can be dependent on to analyze things and to function effectively. That's the same thing with you. If you don't develop your spirit man, you are going to lose out of spirit possibilities, because the shrine has already been constructed. This time the shrine is not in the location. The shrine is in your heart. And the dimensions of that shrine are so adequate, so accurate, and the Spirit of God has come to tabernacle there. The same kind of experience that Moses had, you can have.
The only difference between what you will have and what Moses had was that Moses heard God with his physical ears, because everything was locational for him. But you will hear God with your spiritual ears, and the voice you will hear will be inward. That's the difference. So I need to teach you how to cultivate that inward etiquette that is needed for you to draw God out of his hiding place in the spirit, until he becomes so real to you and he communicates to you face to face as a man will speak unto his friend. Part of what God wants to do in this end time is that he wants to be demystified. He wants to be accessible. He wants to be known. Not just known by preacher man, but known by the entire members of the body of Christ worldwide. If every one of us knows God deeply, then Satan is going to have a hard time, because deception will not sell anymore. If Satan comes with the seed of deception, you will know the texture of that voice. That's not how God speaks. And Satan will not be as relevant as he is today. So, in view of this, the only challenge we have now in our own arrangement is that it is only where the Spirit of the Lord is that there is access. You can't access God outside of where the Spirit of the Lord is. So we need to zero in and understand the ways of this Spirit. It's just like part of what Jesus said will happen when the Holy Ghost comes is that he will not glorify himself. That means the Spirit of God is neutral. It is whatsoever he hears the Father say, that's what he's going to communicate to you. It's whatsoever I say, Jesus says, he's going to communicate it. So it's like a platform, like a public address system. This microphone connected to the speakers, the amplifier and the mixer. It's a platform. It doesn't change what I say, it just makes what I say available. So in the Holy Ghost, that platform exists. And when the Father begins to say something, it is trapped in the movements of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit maintains that movement. And when it hits your spirit, if you are trained, you'll be able to discern what the intent of that movement was. It comes out like waves, comes like signals. But it will take a spirit that is trained to be able to relate with the movements that were captured in the spirit, which came from the Father. Part of the training in this matter that we're talking about is knowing how the Spirit of God functions. Knowing how he functions. Are you with me? First thing you need to know in this matter is that you can't force God to talk to you. You see, it's difficult relating with a king spirit. A king spirit only does what he wants to do. Are you with me? Only. So you might decide that you are praying for 3 days dry fasting because you want to hear his voice, and you finish your 3 days, he didn't speak to you, because it's you that gave 3 days, it's not him. I'm not saying 3 days dry fasting is not an effort. But I'm saying it's your effort. It's a good effort anyway. But it's your effort. He will decide when he honors your attempt to seek his wisdom. He will decide when he will show up. So if you understand that, your disposition will be a disposition of somebody that is waiting upon the Lord. You are waiting upon the Lord because it is only when he wants to speak that he will speak. So that is part of the etiquette that you must cultivate, that you are relating with a spirit that is king, a spirit that is Lord, and no one pushes a king around. So when you have finished your 3 days dry fasting and nothing happens, start another one. Finish that one, nothing happens. The king is not ready to talk yet, but we'll dwell with him. We'll dwell with him. He, in your dealing with you, he will establish adequately that he's king.
Yes.
He will establish that adequately. So someone that comes with anxiety, say, hey! Then you just discover that your cry, your tears cannot move him. Then you humble yourself and you now learn how to wait. It is only when he wants to disclose himself that he will do so. So, but make sure you are waiting. Your place is waiting. Until such a time that he decides that, oh, I am willing to disclose myself. You cannot know him because you have a will to know him. You will only know him because he decides to reveal himself. And that's a humbling situation. And I want to help you, those of you that just started seeking the face of God and you are seeking for some issues and you have found out that there is no feedback. How many of you are like that? I came to tell you that you are interfacing with a king, and he will speak, but he will speak when he wants to speak. And that's the reason why an adventure into seeking the counsel of God begins with a very needful culture called waiting upon God. You can speak in tongues, you can listen to tapes, but all you are doing is you're just angulating yourself to receive from him. So the first thing that you need to know is the culture of waiting. Hast thou not heard, hast thou not known that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he is never weary and there's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait. So there's a blessing for the waiters. They have the opportunity of renewing their strength. I saw someone the other day was fagged out. And I was wondering, if I asked him what he has done for that day, he wouldn't have done anything significant. He is only wearied by circumstances and situation. And that will be your portion if you don't experience the renewal of strength. People like us, we're always in the face of the devil. Cut him in, clearing him out of the way so that what God wants to do can find expression. So he is not particularly interested in our peace. But you know what? Our peace is not up to him to decide. Because they that wait upon the Lord, the Bible says, they shall. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. It means that we do the, mount up with wings like the eagles. That we do the supernaturally, naturally. Run and not be weary. That we do the naturally, supernaturally. Because it's not possible for you to run and not be weary. So running is natural. But running and not being weary is doing the natural, supernatural. That's the proof that you have found the Holy Ghost. You can do the supernatural naturally. And you can do the natural, supernaturally. Now listen. Whereas talking is natural. I can talk to Pastor Tony and we'll talk for morning till night. But talking to God is not natural. When you find a man that can talk to God from morning till night, he's not doing it with natural abilities. It is when you attempt. It might look natural. He's just sitting there just talking to God. Say, God, and he's talking to God from morning till evening. And then you see him. He's still kneeling there and he's talking to God. Say, wow. Me too, tomorrow I will talk to God. And then you start after 10 minutes slumber. You wake up even very late. You will know that he's doing something supernatural, but he's doing it naturally because he has found the Holy Ghost. So there's a blessing for the people that decide to wait. Part of it is renewing their strength. Saw some people that were burning for God those days on campus. And entered into the banking sector and all of that. And they were wondering why I could still pray the way we prayed on campus. He had wandered out of that waiting place. So he's now seeing the supernatural as a wonder. Meanwhile, it should be something he's interfacing with, and he's at home with the supernatural. The reason why that is possible is because there is an arrangement of renewal of strength that is in the Holy Spirit. So the king will not come just because you are crying. Waiting is part of the culture of the adventurer. Waiting is part of the culture of the pilgrim. Because the one before whom you have come is a king. I've seen people that took off like tornadoes. 7 years later, they came back. With stories of wars, and all those 7 years were wasted. Meanwhile, they were moving fast because they wanted to catch up with destiny. But they went without the Holy Ghost. So the devil helped them wait 7 years. It was after 7 years they realized, you know, Satan, he's been around a long time. He's only a man that is helped by the Holy Ghost that can outsmart him. Please help me tell your neighbor, your brain, your beauty, your strength will count for nothing. For the Bible says the young man will utterly fall. Preach for me. Your strength, your beauty, it will count for nothing. For even the youths are faint, the Bible says, and the young men, they shall utterly. So the one that doesn't embrace the culture of waiting, he is going to waste his moments. And may you be recovered. May you be recovered before everything is spent. To understand that the way up is waiting at the foot of the king until he stretches forth his scepter in your direction and says, Abike, go for me. And that word you will receive in 5 seconds will be the reason why a mighty nation sealed with iron will open to you. Are you there? So there is a waiting culture that we must have. And that culture is born out of humility. Humility that is a function of revelation. Knowing that our God is a king spirit and not a servant spirit. Many people think that, you know, the way we pray these days, we'll send God, say, go. Go and destroy. If you have not labored in this matter that I'm talking about, you will not know that God is a king. And I wonder the people that write those prayer books, prayers that have the shape of Quran, that's not the Bible, because the God of the Bible is a king. And you will need to learn how to wait for him. I don't have time to show you how many times the psalmist say, I will wait. It was not convenient. His soul was agitated, but he had to bring his soul into obedience. So be quiet and wait. Wait. There is this haste that is locked on the soul of man. That haste is a result of the fall. That haste is what will make you run away from the presence of God. And that haste is what will indoctrinate you to think that God is slow. God is not forthcoming. God wastes time. The reason, one man, an elder of a church was caught in a herbalist shrine. Say, you too, you came. He said, God do the day. God the day. God the day. God the day. Went with face cap so that it will be the angle. The angle of recognition is bleak. But with his face cap, he was still, because there were many members of the church that used to visit. But they were not expecting to meet him. They say, Say, God, the tea, God to the tea. If you have any other alternative apart from God, you will go. The king will ensure that he wearies you such that if there's any alternative on your heart apart from him, you would have left him. He will never want you to choose him as a second option. If you have a heart to make him second option, he will weary you with time until it becomes unreasonable for you to be waiting. You will choose the other option. But it's only people that are foolish that don't have any other option. When everybody had escaped, everybody, just like that woman, he said, where are the people that accuse you? Oh, they are gone. Me, myself, I do not accuse you. There are people that we leave. I remember there was one guy those days in Kano. He said, God, if I must die so that you can move, kill me. I die. The day God wanted him. When I brought the list of people that we preach in the crusade and his name was not there, he was the first problem we had. He fought us till that crusade finished. Meanwhile, anytime he preached, he said, kill me, God! So that the kingdom can go. That was the day we realized he didn't mean that he was. The Lord knows your heart. 5 years later, when I entered into Kano, I was looking for him because they said he has given his life to Star. That's the man that used to say, let God kill him. See, God is not so moved by our public talk. Because we know how to say what people want to hear. But in the practicalities of interfacing with God, it has to do with a heart of sincerity. A heart that honors God genuinely. A heart that doesn't have any alternative. A heart that is willing to wait when it seems like you have wasted time. And people want to mock you. Then the monarch will rise from his throne and use his scepter to touch you. He will open up your spiritual senses to be able to hear him speak to you face to face. The objective of this teaching is that each and every one of us will be able to come to that point when he will speak to you face to face. He will make you wait. He will wait for long. And then if it is clear that you have no other alternative but him, then he will show you that he is the creator and that he doesn't dwell in eternity. And it doesn't take eternity for God to do what is eternal. When I went for youth service, I was determined that I will not come back until I find God. I was posted to Kano and I was not willing to come back home until I find God. What was our salary those days? The government paid us one money. I've forgotten the amount. I think it's 7,500 naira. So at least you are being paid. You don't need to write exams. That's a good world. So I decided to give myself to prayer. I said, if you can be known, I'm here to look for you. If you can be found, then I will seek you. And then you will think that when you have made up your mind to seek the Lord, that he will just appear. No, your heart is not aligned. You see, a camera, before the focus on the camera can be clear, there are some adjustments that need to be made in order for adequate, accurate alignment to come into place. And so God begins to work on your heart. Oh my. Some people came to God because they were told in wherever they went for training that God is about results. He's going to clear your doubts. He will clear your doubts. But you will know that it's not about results. You will know that it's about him. Life is about him. Not about what you drive, not about what you can do, not about how beautiful you are, not about how much money you have seen. It is about him. And everything that must be done in his name must be done to give him glory. I'm only a conduit pipe through which he can be glorified, through which the desires of his heart can be satisfied. And when I bring myself to that place where I solve the problem of satisfying the desires of his heart, I'm living for him. I always have access to him because I'm living for him. I'm not living to do my thing. And then when you begin to live for him, he will show you that that's the greatest thing that you can do with your life. You live for him. You live for him. If he wants to begin the regime of blessings that are in the Holy Ghost on your life, the first thing he will do is that he will activate your receptacle. He will activate your receptacle. He will make your spiritual senses active so that when he moves over your heart, your spiritual senses will be able to discern what is locked in his movement. You see, when Jesus speaks, that utterance is trapped in the Holy Ghost like a wave. And then he moves over your heart with that frequency. If your heart is trained, if he's the one that has activated your senses, you'll be able to discern what is on the heart of Jesus. That is the proof of intimacy. You must have passed the test of submission. You must have passed the test of acknowledging that he's king. You must have passed the test of waiting. And the whole agenda of life is to wait to receive instruction from him. You must have passed the test of prayer. You must have made prayer a consistent part of your daily life. Are you with me? You must have passed the test of alignment. And alignment in this case is all of the meaning of the word holiness. I'm doing what he wants me to do. I'm here because he says I should be here. I am doing this matter because I told you sometime ago in 2009, Jesus appeared to me and spoke about youth ministry. From 2009 to 2019, I went all over the landscape. The meaning of 10 years in my life was a 9 seconds encounter I had with Jesus where he spoke about youth ministry. That was the meaning of 10 years of my life. It must be known that you are living for him. When you have passed these basic requirements, then he brings you to the next level where he empowers your inner senses to be able to perceive him. When your inner senses are empowered to perceive him, he is no longer far away. You can never be depressed anymore. Doesn't matter what happens, who dies, who lives, who becomes president, what is happening? No. He can never be far away again. He becomes that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The kind of relationship he wants is an intimate one. God is a very jealous personality. He will not share you with anybody. Very intimate one. Very personal. Very private. Very affectionate. And the things that he is doing within the stage of your heart, the next person sitting by your side will have no clue. All right. Your relationship with God must have 4 textures. It must have affection, love, affection. It is through the instrument of love that God will control you. Let me show you one scripture quickly. Second Corinthians 5 verse 14. I'm going to stop there. That's just the beginning of the teaching. This is the affectionate mode. This is the reason why you cannot offend God. You don't want to naturally offend God. And if you find out that you have offended God, you will run back to him in tears. It is because of this factor. It's the love factor. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Let me stop there. The love of Christ does what? Now, that's a proof that you are intimate with God. He floods your heart with passion, with love for him, for his people. Becomes so strong. And that love by which he floods your heart becomes an instrument of regulation. Uses it to regulate you. Somebody does evil to you and you want to go and strike the person. And then that love does what? It is the instrument by which he exercises government. The instrument through which he controls you. Nothing can regulate fallen man other than the love of God. And that's why if you're a young lady and you want to get married, don't marry a man just because he's wealthy. No. Marry a man that has something with God. Because it's that love that will constrain him so that he can be faithful to you. Those days when I was still working for the government, they will send us for training, different places. And we went to Calabar. Gomez Plaza. Gomez. We came out of the training and saw naked ladies. My friends that were deacons and elders forgot. They forgot they were elders. The love of God does what? That option is open, but the love of God. If you have anything with him at all, you will know how powerful he is. Oh, you don't know my story. At least, I can tell you three experiences of ladies that were in a court, a marine court. They sent them from there. Say, that pastor is causing us problems. Go and fall, make him fall. You can't make a man fall that has found the love of God. The love will constrain him. It's a proof that you have something with God. Your intimacy is currency. When God can constrain you, God can stop you. But if you go all the way, it means you had nothing with God. You had nothing with him. Those vows you make by the altar, oh man, those vows you make by the altar on your wedding day, I assure you, you don't have the ability to keep it. And if God wants to help you to keep it, what he does is that he causes his love to cost. Oh man, God will not stop creating beautiful ladies just because of you. A lot of you will see all, but the love of Christ, what does it do? And you begin to see how God regulates your life just because of that love edge. You don't want to break his heart. It means you're on the path. Your journey of intimacy had begun. If God can constrain. I'm going to stop here today. The Bible says, let your affections be set on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Your relationship with God must be affectionate. That's a proof that you have arrived the tabernacle. You are operating from the secret place. Love of God, it constrains you. I'm going to pray in a moment. Okay, let's use this night for practical. So if you have come to a point where God can constrain you, it means that you have started touching the depths of God. You have started feeling what is in the bowels of God. And that is great power. Whereas men will take off in different directions like tornadoes. And after 12 years, they will know they were wrong. A man that stays and can connect with the bowels of Christ, such a man will be relevant throughout his life because he's operating by the spirit of prophecy. All right, let me take you, let's go to the practical session. First of all, if you want to draw him from inside to come out, first of all, set your heart as though nothing in this world is important, only God. It's something you can do, even now. You set your heart. As what? As though nothing is important. The only thing that is important is what? Is God. And you set your heart like that? When you set your heart like that, the next thing you do is to stir your spirit. And the best way to do it, just speak in tongues. See, but don't speak in tongues in such a way that the tongues will distract you. Speak in tongues in such a way that you are using the tongues to gain ascendancy as a locomotive train that is moving. And set your heart. Only Him. Only Him. Only Him. If you can do that, it takes a lot of discipline because you need to put your mind, set your affection, put your mind on Him. If your mind leaves Him, catch your mind and say, come on, go back. And stay there. Can you do that? All right, let's try. Forget about your neighbor. You came with your sister. Oh, forget about her. Forget about her. And then you as you set your heart, begin to speak in tongues. Begin to speak in tongues and mobilize your heart. Mobilize your heart. He will come out from inside. Mobilize your heart. Mobilize your heart. Jacob presco falami sico skepro umpele. Mansco fresco petama scuse zaiko balahaita compela. It is for you only that I live, that I move, that I have my being. It is only when I make contact with you that my life begins to roll. Oh God, do not hide your face, do not hide your heart. Mesco brevi, lasco patua la manze isco predo copre askita palatala. I surrender. Sometimes when you begin to go like that, He begins to show you things you need to surrender. You need to let go this. You need to let go that. You need to allow that relationship go. You need to allow this thing go. Leave that crisis, leave that land, leave that property, leave that inheritance. Just stay with me, just stay. He begins to enlighten the eyes of your understanding. And then many visions will begin to come on your face. You can see things, you can know things supernaturally. The unction of the Holy One is suddenly activated, and your ability to know things that you were not taught begins to find expression. A river of life begins to flow. A river of life begins to flow. A river of life, it begins to flow. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. If you do that, it will take 5 to 7 minutes for your spirit to adjust properly. And then you begin to see visions. Spiritual visions are not as clear as physical visions. Flashes. They're not as clear. Now, I've seen one already. That's why I stopped you. They're not as clear as physical visions. So if you are too fleshly, you will miss the sign that is spiritual. Because spiritual signs are very faint. Only the trained will know them. And I beheld a star fall from heaven. And when I saw it, it fell and stood on the ear of somebody. The ear, somebody's ear. And I was saying, what is this? Then he began to give me insight that what he wants to do in this service, there is someone in this service. And you are a prophet by calling. I can see that. But God wants to begin to communicate with you in an audible voice. An audible voice. It is for this reason that the Lord has been haunting you for a very long time. There is a dimension of the prophetic ministry that God wants to commit to you. And in this ministry, you will hear His audible voice. Now, like I told you the other day, power is not in shouting, it's in accuracy. Once you are accurate in the spirit, that which God reveals to you in the privacy of your heart, He will perform it on the street. Oh, Jesus. Izamo taka berisco mexico saico calabunda muraca bezo zico presco petaminala mando zoco priababo sheketa balato mita prepico seco tomina acabronda zica presco telia maca borocosque sasi jeico bezo zome zakita cabrescata Uba manteli sakabe korea. Let's try again. Can you focus your heart? Focus your heart. He's the only thing that is important to you right now. And then you are driving your locomotive with the power of prayer, aided by the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Can we glide? Sako ya preskimo mezo soke prosketa kabalatwa maiko samakunda ebrako sekatelo kombre manto sigo barato igobaza minakuria baito sabarato iko presko ero komosoria manto zezi ezozi gabraita kupeza antulia manto zezi mandala baboroko seli Maikos kaba isko breke mansolia makabe ruske teli kabo santeli amantos kute balato kulabatwa isko meza zila abresko pela monde isko velama iska brate kuske toko meza abela koprela kabela koprela zika patamunda hasa kama embro kote kabaisa hiko mahaiko pera mandeli. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Zebro kote mala. Zebro kala babore. Ezuze na iko salabonde. Mesketo kobre kabazo zeli. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. I saw in the spirit, I saw someone's leg. And the Lord said, He wants to heal. So God will heal now. God will heal. In working with the spirit, what we do is that we find out what God wants to do. Then we begin to do it. Then God, through us, will begin to accomplish. It's not as if we are so strong. We find out, what are you doing? Where are you going? What is on your mind? And as long as we can articulate that and we begin to do it, God begins to perform what He wants to do. It's just that you will see us as the initiators, but in reality, it began from the Spirit. We just sensed it. And then we began to align. Oh my. Oh my. There are two people in this auditorium. Now God is bathing you with the gift of healing. The gift of healing. The gift. It will come like as if you are bathing. It will come as if water is being poured upon you. It's the gift of healing. And there are two people in the auditorium that will receive that touch. There are two people in the auditorium. There is an impartation of the gift of healing. There's an impartation of the gift of healing. And your voice will be honored when you pray for people that are sick, afflicted. Because God today is imparting you with the gift of healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask therefore for my right hand side to my left hand side, those ones that you are given the gift of healing, I ask that you touch them. I ask that you touch them. I ask that you touch them. Let your hand become strong upon them. Let your hand become strong so that the impartation can be established in the name of Jesus. Okay, the Lord is coming for two people. His hands will, one of them is vibrating already. It's vibrating. Vibrating already. Vibrating. It's an impartation. So that when you pray for the sick will begin to recover. He's conscripting you. Thank you, Father. Now I want to pray for the sick. If you have a challenge with your eyes, maybe there's an eye issue and you use glasses to read, you are short-sighted, you are long-sighted, your eyes are weak, remove the spectacles, put it in your pocket. You came with a sick person. Just lay your hands on that person. Those of you online, you can lay your hands on your sick relative at home. The hand of God will come upon them suddenly. The hand of God will come upon them suddenly, suddenly. Now listen to me, the Lord is speaking to me. He said he wants to change someone's blood condition. Now, this blood condition can be genotype, it can be HIV, it can anything that has to do with the blood. Someone is going to receive a healing in the blood. You will go to the diagnostic center and run a test and you'll confirm that healing. This evening, someone will be healed from a blood condition. Put your hand where the sickness is. We're going to pray. And those of you that could not bring your sick people here, you can call them now. You can call them on the phone. You can call them. You can call them. You can call them. Just pick your phone out. You can switch it on and call any sick person at all, anywhere they are in the whole wide world. Quickly, quickly. We have few minutes to go. Few minutes. Eye conditions, put your hands on your eyes as I pray. Ear conditions, put your hands in your ears, especially the ear that cannot hear. Put your hands on it. Pains on your body, put your hands where the pains are. Those of you online, you are part of this service. And as I pray, healings will come to you where you are there. Oh my God. Oh my God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There's a blood condition that God is working on. A blood condition He's working on. So I want to pray. In the name of Jesus. I say, in the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody in the auditorium, what I see is, I see something on your throat. Something on your throat. I don't know, but there's something on your throat. That's what I see. If you are in this place, either inside or outside, and there's something on your throat, I don't know what it is, but there's something on your throat. Please come. The Lord has sent me to you. There's something on your throat. There's something on your throat. Now, please, who is helping me? I want to find out. Help investigate. There's something on your throat, and God wants to take it out. There's something on your throat, and God wants to take it out. In the name of Jesus. Wow. The spirit of death is upon someone here. Spirit of death is upon someone. I don't know where you went, but you went somewhere. When you came back, you have not been the same since you got back. You have not been the same since you got back. If you are the person I'm talking about, please join them. You went somewhere, and since you came back, you have not been the same. You have not been the same. Are you the one, sister? Okay. I'm waiting for that person. You went somewhere, you got back. I don't know if it's a burial you attended, but since you came back from that place, you have not been the same. What's your story? So, Barrister, you can tell me what you have found. Someone with an issue with the throat. And then there's someone that went for an occasion, and since you came back, you have not been the same. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. So these are the emergencies that we have, yes?
Yes, sir. This brother said that there is something that is in his throat.
Something that is in his throat.
And he even began to drink water to see whether he could push,
he should push it down. Okay.
Away and
the thing is in your throat now, as you're standing. Okay.
This brother said that there are a lot of living things moving in his body. Mm-hmm.
Go back.
Okay. And some of them have gathered around his throat.
The thing I saw is on the throat.
Not
things moving. The Lord knows that there are things moving here and there. But what he is talking about now is something on the throat. Hallelujah.
Yes, this sister's experience confirms the same thing. He said she had visited ear and nose specialists.
Listen, it's not an ear issue I mentioned. Not a nose issue I mentioned. It's truth. Alright. You know why I'm doing this? It's only the person that God spoke about that he will heal. That's why I called everybody. You too, you have something on your throat? What's that brother's condition?
After we came back from the field trip we went for, he's not been able, he can't hold hands set now because of vibrations and
now, this I'm still lecturing, as even though we are praying. If you can hear God, you can change your office. You can change too many things. Oh my God. There are things. May your spiritual ears be open in the name of Jesus. Okay. Let's start with the truth, people. The one God is speaking about, he will heal. Father, in the name of Jesus, let this truth condition go. Let it go. Let it go. Father, in the name of Jesus, let this truth condition go. Let this throat condition go in the name of Jesus. Let this throat condition go in the name of Jesus. Let this throat condition go in the name of Jesus. Let this throat condition go in the name of Jesus. I break the yoke. I command it to be cut off. I break his presence. Let it diffuse. Let it go in the name of Jesus. The one I spoke about will be healed. Ogba, go back and interview them. Let's find the one that is healed. Because if God reveals it, he will do. If he's still there, don't bother. Just keep, find the one. One is healed, one among them. If it's God that sent me, we'll heal now. Meanwhile, don't make it easy for me. If the thing is there, tell the world that my own, he move, he come back. Yes, who is the one that is healed? Who among you is healed?
One of his own condition is that he wasn't able to swallow anything at all. I tried it now.
He tried so he can swallow now. Now, you see, the thing about healing, healing is, it's a spiritual thing. See, it's a spiritual grace. Someone might fall and not be healed. Someone might not feel anything and be healed. But I'm telling you that if you heard God on an issue that has to do with healing, there will be healing. But if you did not hear God, there will be no healing. Like this one now, he's going to be healed because Father, in the name of Jesus, now I destroy that which is troubling him. Let him be loose in the name of Jesus. You people should check again. I got another signal. Apart from him, I'm getting another signal. You stand here. The throat people. Try to. There's one of you whose case has changed. Don't be afraid. If God speaks to you, say it. This is what the Lord has said. He will always confirm what he has said. He will always confirm that. From today, that burden is lifted. You are released in Jesus' name. We can't hear you.
I said he is relieved of the pain now.
So we have two. Meanwhile, did we discuss that you had throat?
Huh? No, sir.
You know, because some people think we... When people are coming, we'll go and shake and say, you will do truth miracle. Hallelujah. Some of you, before we finish the service, you'll be okay. I'll ask again before we go. You'll be okay. Now let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus,
amen.
We give you praise, we give you glory. Now I bind every spirit of infirmity. I bind every spirit of sickness.
Amen.
I bind every pain.
Amen.
I bind every affliction.
Amen.
Somebody cannot sleep. Where are you? Sleep is a trouble. It's a burden. Where is the person that cannot sleep? Come quickly. Come quickly. Let the yoke be broken.
In the name of Jesus. Okay, you are free. Go back. I command every yoke to break. I bind every spirit of infirmity. In the name of Jesus. 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 Oh my. Listen to me. Someone, what? You were given a gift. And that gift is in a certain bag that you were given. You collected the gift, brought the gift home. But you never knew that that gift was a monitoring instrument. There are some. You can't sleep? Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the yoke. I break the yoke. I release him. Okay, you will sleep. You will sleep this night. Go. And this person collected this gift. And unknown to this person, it's a monitoring instrument. And since the day you collected that gift, you've been in a very terrible situation. The gift I saw is like a bag. There are two ways to find this person. First is the one I want to use. If you were given a bag, something like a bag, and the moment you brought that bag in, you noticed turbulence in your environment. If that is your case, you can come. If you can't remember, I will use power to find you out. That bag, have you returned it? It's still in the house. Can you come and give me? Bring it to my house. Let me be keeping it so that you can sleep. Huh? Your grace, it shines on me. Shines on me. Shines on me. Is your grace. Shines on me, shines on me. Your grace is shining on the name of Jesus. Amen. You know what I see? An alligator. And the reason why I see an alligator is because there's somebody that has been seeing an alligator. This alligator is the image of the spiritual image of a family deity that your family served. You see an alligator in your dreams quite frequently. Is that person I'm looking for now? Alligator. You see it quite frequently appearing in your dream. Please come quickly. Your case is an emergency. We need to cut off that link. Yes, what is it? No. What's your experience?
The alligator.
Do you see it frequently?
Yes.
When last did you see it?
Last week.
Okay.
I see it twice for now.
You've seen it like twice?
I think this week.
This week. Father, in the name of Jesus, these two individuals came here seeking your help, seeking your intervention, and I ask that you show each of them mercy in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every link to any deity, any such deity that has been worshipped in your family, that still comes to make demands
that still claims ownership of your life, today I cut off the influence of that spirit in the name of Jesus. Today I cut off the influence of that spirit in the name of Jesus. I cut off the influence of that spirit in the name of Jesus. These ones are separated from every spiritual family arrangement. Go and fulfill your destiny in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Eyes on me. You see your great glory to God. And so, Lord, I rebuke every form of migraine. I command migraine to go in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every stomach condition. I command it to go in the name of Jesus. Somebody had 2 accidents in 1 week. Where are you? 2 accidents in 1 week. 2 accidents in 1 week. We say to you, accidents cease. 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 Go. It will not come again. We say accidents cease. Cease. In the name of Jesus. Yes? Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Okay, the healings have started. The healings have started. God has begun to heal. I command every pain on the leg to fall off. Every back pain, let it give way in the name of Jesus. I command the eyes. Blinding spirit, leave the eyes in the name of Jesus. And I speak to the eyes. Eyes begin to see in Jesus' name. I'm seeing a lady sitting in front of a computer and is watching us. Now she's putting on glasses. Lady, remove those glasses. You will find out that you can see. Remove the glasses now. You will find out that you can see. Let every infirmity give way. Let every sickness give way. Let every pain give way. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For those of you online, the hand of God is upon you. And I rebuke sickness. I rebuke disease. I rebuke pain. I command it to give way in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated. First thing we need to do, those of you online, if you have received a miracle, you communicate with us. Let's start online first. If you have received a miracle, you communicate with us. Those of you online. While we are waiting to get that feedback, ushers, you can go around with the offering basket so that we'll do 3 things at the same time. We'll do 3 things at the same time. Ushers, you go around. Pastor Philip, collate the online situation, and then I will do 1 or 2 things before we take testimonies from people in the hall.
technical people, you can put the details on the screen for people that want to give online. And listen, first thing I want to say is there is a lady here. This lady, when you were around the age of 13, 14, the presence of God used to come to you. Sometimes you weep under the weight of the glory of God. And you never knew why God was coming to you. But you enjoyed it, but you didn't know the purpose. And it's not because you did anything significantly wrong that you can remember, that presence stopped coming. A lady. Now, this lady that I speak of, because the Lord speaks to me about you, that presence is going to come in the next 7 seconds. Around that lady that I speak of. The next 7 seconds, the presence of God is going to come on that lady. Father, if that lady is in this auditorium, a lady that used to know your presence, and she's in this auditorium, I ask that you manifest your presence upon that lady and let those dimensions of mercy be restored. Let those dimensions of mercy be restored. Okay, he is actually coming gradually. I can sense his movement. It's coming stronger. He's coming to that lady. There is such a lady. And he's going to overwhelm you. He's going to overwhelm you so strong. From what I can see now, the lady is outside. So, ushers, help me go outside. Father, in the name of Jesus, stretch forth your hand and help me find this lady that is outside. In the name of Jesus, help me find that lady that is outside. If you find a lady, you can bring her in. I want to recommission that dimension of oppression. Lord, we ask that this dimension of your oppression around this lady might be restored. Let it be restored. In the name of Jesus. Let this dimension of your presence be restored. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Yes. Online first.
Yes, we have up to 5 persons that have been healed from the throat-related issues.
Throat thing.
We also have like up to 3 persons that were healed from migraine, made a decree concerning migraine.
Okay, for migraine.
From 2 from Russia, 1 from Dubai, 1 from Abuja. This is.
The lady sitting in front of a computer that I asked to remove her glasses. I'm still waiting for her. Remove your glasses. Your eyes are healed. Your eyes are healed. This is a restoration. The garment of the presence of God is coming so strong on these individuals. The experiences that they used to have are restored. Are restored. You know, it's not everything you see that you say. That's the reason why I'm not saying something. So if you are in the auditorium, inside or outside, and you notice there's a healing on your body, you can stand this way. Have a few minutes. You notice there's a healing on your body, you can stand this way.
There's a powerful prayer I want to pray for you. Let me release something to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you fill her up, that your grace be released in the name of Jesus, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Let your grace be released. Such intense grace. Young man, sit down. Are you coming for a testimony? Something happened to you? Okay, come. Hey, but you are about to miss the visitation. Go to your seat first. Now, stand there. Don't sit down. Ask God. Say, Lord, remember me. Just tell him that. Remain there now. You have missed it. Come. I try to help. You have missed it. It's not only healing he wants to give you. Let's try again. Father, look upon him with mercy. You have missed it. Okay, if you sense a healing, you can come. You can come. There's a young man in our midst. You are the only person. You are the only person in your family that attended a university. The only person in your family that attended a university. While you were in the university, you struggled so much. But God gave you grace because you were an intercessor and you prayed and you saw the help of God. Now, this person that I speak about, suddenly you have been experiencing attacks around your life. Ye young man, where are you? Oh, young man, come. Suddenly you've been sensing attacks. What's your name, young man? Kelvin. You are Kelvin. Where's Ogbe? You need to cross-examine. Serious attacks have come upon you. But you are the sign the Lord gave me is that you are the only graduate in your family. So let's find out. Somebody in the auditorium, I don't know whether it's inside or outside, your feet is becoming hot. Where are you? Your feet. Okay, come. You are promoted. Yeah, you are promoted now. Those people that have that experience of your feet becoming hot. Your destiny has opened up. If your feet, you sense that your feet, now there's one of you that is standing out here. Yeah, and the hand of God is stretched forth. And the Lord is pointing you, one of you standing here. He's pointing you. And the Holy Ghost will come upon you because God is pointing you. There's something God wants to effect in your life right now. So the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Because you are willing, let these limitations go and let them begin to ride on the height of their destiny. The things that were impossible for you before today, let it become possible. Ride on the height of your destiny. I bless you. Let limitations give way Let impossible things become possible. Let grace be given unto you. Let your story take a different turn in the name of Jesus. If I touch you, you can go. Grace upon grace upon your life in the name of Jesus. Oh my God. Let her be free. Let her be released. Let your grace rest upon her life in the name of Jesus. Yes. The new season. Walk into it. Step into it. Step into it in the name of Jesus. Step into it in the name of Jesus. Step into it. It's a new season. Step into it in the name of Jesus. These ones are for you. Okay. It's a new season. Step into it. If I touch you, you go. That sign is a sign of something fresh, something new. And God brings about an elevation. An elevation. An elevation. In the name of Jesus. An elevation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Yes, sir. All these individuals are taken by the word concerning the people that were the only persons that went to university. But these three, their cases are very significant. This is the 10th person.
Wait. You have not heard me. I didn't say make a roll call of people that they are the only ones in their family that have been to the university. It's not an advertisement. I'm saying that they are people, individuals that happen to be that only them have been to the university in their family. Wait. And currently, they are passing through waves of attack. The rest that are not, that part B is not part of their life, release them. Let them go and sit down.
I hereby release to go and sit down. That is not part of your story.
Release such ones as are not implicated.
I have applied the litmus test. They are still under the same category. Yes.
In view. Now, okay. I want to stand with you. Pray with you. The reason why I will stand and pray with you is because the person that has been afflicting you, God has warned that person to leave you. And the person has continued. So God is about to judge. In a few days from today, the notice of the judgment of God will become obvious. And so, Lord, we ask that you give this brother justice. Give him justice. Give him justice. You see the yoke they put on you is coming off now. Give him justice. In the name of Jesus. Yes. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Okay. It is done. Give this one justice, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give him justice 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 in the name of Jesus. Give her justice in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Yes, what happened to that young man? The rest of you can sit down. Finally, before I run away. Oh. There's an anointing on my hand now. If you can believe, God will give you. If your heart is open. Father, in the name of Jesus, anyone whose heart is open, put this anointing on them. Anyone whose heart is open, put this anointing on them. Anyone whose heart is open, put this anointing on them. Anyone whose heart is open, put this anointing on them. Put this anointing. 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 Put this anointing on them. 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 In the name of Jesus. He's anointed. He's beginning to anoint. He's beginning to anoint. And he's anointing stronger, 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 stronger. Put this anointing. 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 Anyone whose heart is open, Lord, put this anointing on them. Put this anointing on them. Put this anointing. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Like a baptism. Like a baptism. A baptism of fire. A baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let it come like fire. Let this anointing rest. Let it be so strong upon them, upon them. Another round of anointing has begun again. That's begun again. That's begun again. A fresh one. A fresh one. A fresh empowerment. A fresh empowerment. Fresh empowerment. Fresh empowerment. Fresh empowerment comes.